The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Act 2, Scene 3 of Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And I'm David Timberline with Style Weekly. And this week, we're going to start out talking about a new Fifth Wall production that's playing at Hat Theatre through October 8th. It's Rapture, Blister, Burn. All three of us have seen it. We're going to give you our thoughts. I'll give you a quick plot summary. In the show, a married couple is bogged down in a stagnant relationship until a successful friend returns to town. She invokes personal and professional jealousies that change the trio's dynamics.
Well, you know, it's an interesting scenario, and the script has got some smart exchanges in it, but I thought it was just too indulgent in the debates of sexual politics. Several scenes bogged down with extensive discussions of feminism, but the rest of the show has a lively pace, and Carol Pearsall did a nice job of directing it. The actors are comfortable, they're natural, they make it fun to watch. Dean Knight, who we've seen many times on the stage, and Aidan Orr, who's from VCU, add sly comic delivery to generate most of the laughs. What'd you think, Dave?
I really enjoyed it. I wasn't quite as bogged down by the philosophical and historical feminism conversations. I actually thought it was a pretty clever way of bringing in the more heady intellectual material into an interpersonal dynamic. As somebody who's been married for a long time, I thought it was an interesting exploration of what happens in a couple as they get on in years, and that dynamic is shaken and stirred. The only, you know, minor complaint I had is, I love Sarah Heifetz as an actress. I thought she was wound a little too tight as a housewife stuck in a relationship she was frustrated with.
Rich?
I'm with Dave. I love this show. I thought it was incredibly thought-provoking. I thought that, you know, while it does get into kind of the history of feminism, it made sense and was cleverly put together. And it worked. It's kind of looking at feminism and kind of the role that women play today. Can they have it all? What does that mean? And it doesn't end up with the conclusion that you might expect from a play like this. So I thought it was great. I thought good work all around from the cast, especially Aidan Orr, the newcomer, as Avery.
Right, right.
And I loved Carol Pearsall's direction. So I'd totally recommend go seeing it.
I just want to mention one thing. The set changes seem to take forever sometimes, and they did. They took a long time, and basically they were just moving a picnic table around and converting it into a couch and stuff. I thought, considering how uninteresting the set was, they could have maybe figured out a way to make it happen a little faster so that those long, interminable scene changes could have happened a little more quickly.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of times in shows where, you know, you have momentum going and a scene change just seems to stop it dead. I wasn't really worried by that, but I definitely see your point on that. I just wanted to echo what Rich said about Aidan Orr. Her performance was great, but I also thought the dynamic of having a college student age person inject her perspective into this fight between Gen X baby boomer types was a really cool way to throw their perspectives off.
Right, good point.
And, you know, change the dynamic of it being either X or Y. There was kind of the Z thrown in the middle of there that I thought was really interesting.
Nice chromosome play there. And with that, we will move on to Dracula, which only Rich and I have seen, so Dave's going to sit quietly.
I'll sit out.
Why don't you go first, Rich?
It's Dracula. It's the story that everyone knows and loves.
The Bram Stoker classic, right?
Kind of a straightforward telling. I thought it was a serviceable take. It didn't blow me away. I thought it was fine, but it didn't really go anywhere.
I kind of agree. I think it was somber, but there was never any tension or suspense. I never felt like, oh my goodness, this is scary. There really weren't any effects. There was a lot of lighting, a lot of music, a lot of atmosphere, a lot of haze, which, if you don't know what that is, that's the smoke that they use in theater. But I just thought it just didn't grab me. I have to say, unfortunately, director Daniel Moore has to get the credit for this, I believe. I didn't feel the show had a vision. I feel it didn't sustain itself. The performers were all fine. Melissa Johnson had a delicious accent as Van Helsing, and she dominated the stage, I think, anytime she was on it, which is kind of ironic because that's kind of the straight man of the show. I thought Axel Burtonis as Dracula was just kind of meh. He didn't ever scare me or even seem very commanding. I never felt like he was dominating the stage when he came.
But he also, in this version of Dracula, he has such little stage time.
So he should be that much more effective, I think.
Okay. I think part of it was a script. Other folks who were not as familiar with the story, they said it was confusing that they kept jumping back to Jonathan Harker's storyline throughout instead of just starting with that. As far as the direction, one of the things that really jarred me was they have this homoerotic thing going on between Seward and Renfield. And Seward is the caretaker of this insane asylum, and Renfield is one of the patients. And it just completely changes the character of Seward, because instead of being this guy who cares for Lucy and is a caretaker of insane people, it makes him predatory. mandatory. It just did not work.
And see, I didn't even catch that, but of course, maybe another flaw in the direction. Almost all of that scene was done in a pit down in front of the stage, and I was 4 or 5 rows back, and I couldn't see a lot of it. I mean, I could kind of hear it, and I could see it when they would stand up, but a lot of that did take place sitting and lying down on that area, and so I missed some of that interaction. So probably you on the front row, that probably became more clear to you, I guess. The lighting, I thought, was good. It was very traditional for that kind of show. Lots of shafts of light, lots of different colors, blues and golds. I thought the set was very weird. They had all those doors hanging.
I think it worked on a conceptual level, and part of the problem...
What was the concept then of that, Rich?
Because he can go through doors, but he has to be invited. I think it was supposed to represent that. It was a clever way to work with the problems of staging at the Gottwald Playhouse. You have to rent for the time that you are putting the set together and rehearsing in that space. And the doors, from what I've heard, are normal-sized doors. They're not big enough to carry set pieces in that you've built other places. And so by hanging doors and having this bed and playing with the lighting and having that recessed area, I thought it was an interesting way to use the space given the constraints that they had.
That's interesting. I thought the doors, they just looked like barn doors. They didn't really look like period appropriate doors. Speaking of period, again, the last show that Quill did, Shakespeare, they did some interesting things with the costumes. And I think, again, here they threw some nods to period, but then they had women in slacks, which obviously was not appropriate for the time. So it was kind of interesting.
True. But I think it was kind of worth it because Van Helsing, Melissa Johnson Price, she gets to wear that really cool leather holster for her stake and hammer.
Which ironically would have been a man in normal cases, so it wouldn't have been that cool.
It still would have been cool.
So were either of you scared at any point?
No. Never. I in one word, I would sum it up as this was kind of anemic.
But is the original Dracula film with Bela Lugosi, is that scary? It's just more kind of...
It's very atmospheric. I said that in my review, that I remember seeing the movie thinking, meh. If you want to check it out yourself, this Quill Theater production is playing at the Gottwald Playhouse through October 8th. And a third show has opened, Ubu 84 at Firehouse, but since I'm the only one to see it, we won't talk about the show itself yet.
You're not the only one in town. You're just... The only one among us.
Okay.
They opened it just for Jerry.
Okay. That's right. We've talked in the past about original productions, and this one was kind of original. James Ricks, who also directed it, took some of 1984, the book, and some of Ubu Roy, and combined them together or mashed them up into two contrasting plays. It was kind of an interesting idea that he took on very boldly. We have some other shows coming up this season by local playwrights.
Among those will be Bo Wilson, who is kind of going to be ensconced at Firehouse as a playwright, and he's going to be doing the Boatwright there. He's also doing a new variation on his Charitable Sisterhood series, I guess now, the Charitable Sisterhood Christmas Spectacular. It's going to be at Virginia Rep at their Hanover Playhouse. And I think it's just a great opportunity to talk about how much original work is being created in Richmond these days.
Also coming up is The End of War by David L. Robbins, the novelist and playwright who did Sam and Carol previously and adapted his novel Scorched Earth.
So it'll be interesting to see these new works coming to town.
It's surprising. I think people don't realize how much original work is being made. Heritage Ensemble Theater is developing new works all the time. They did a show called Sweet Chocolate and Seven Christians last year. Down at Swift Creek Mill, they did The Little Lion last year. And their Two Bits musical, from what we hear, what we read in the Times-Dispatch, is possibly going to be considered for an off-Broadway run.
And we can't forget Croaker, which Virginia Rep did for the Children's Theater, which had a run on New York.
That's the thing that's really interesting to me, is that there's people who stay in Richmond but are writing shows that could go anywhere.
And we do have a category that we didn't originally release, Outstanding Original Work. Some of the shows that we've mentioned on the show here will be nominated, and one of those will be selected, and that will not be revealed until the Artsies, which are...
October 17th.
So if you haven't gotten your tickets, it's selling quickly.
I just want to jump in and say that it's so great that local theater companies are willing to take the chance...
Absolutely.
On these brand new works. It's not something like Death of a Salesman where we've all kind of heard of it. They're saying, you know what, we're going to do this show about a frog. We're going to do it, you know, and a princess.
I think theater companies are looking for new shows, and the old catalogs are starting to show their age. They're not quite as politically correct as theater companies want these days.
That's all we have time for this week. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting our show on WRAR. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
David Timberline with Style Weekly. And so we'll see you in the theater.
That just killed the level on the mic.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.